Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the final in a series of sermons that we've been hearing on the Epistle of James. We jokingly refer to that book in Sunday school as the Book of Jim. The Book of Jim is the New Testament wisdom book. In the Old Testament, the wisdom books are Psalms and Ecclesiastes, Proverbs and Job. When we speak of wisdom from a biblical perspective, we are thinking in terms of how God would have us live, how he wants us to live our life. That's the wisdom that we seek. Over the last 3 weeks, James has talked about the danger of the tongue, how it is such a small part of our anatomy yet can cause such great problems. And we've talked about how our good works show our faith into the world. Last week we heard about being humble before God and before other people. Today the text speaks about prayer. James says, Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise and give thanks. If anyone is sick, let him call the elders for them to pray over him and to anoint them. Prayer is the topic that we hear today. You may be surprised, maybe not, to know that there have been scientific studies to determine the value of or the effectiveness of prayer. Some years ago, the Mayo Clinic conducted a research study on prayer, and they published their report. They took a group of about 800 people and divided them into two groups, and one half of that group was prayed for by five people. The other group of people, as far as they knew at least, didn't have anyone praying for them. They don't say anything about the effectiveness of the prayers that the people did. They don't say anything about the spirituality of the people who did the praying. But after 6 months, they looked at these two groups of people, and there was no difference between them. They hadn't changed more on one side than the other. One group was not healthier than the other. There was no change. And so their conclusion was, not unexpectedly, prayer does not work. Prayer is not effective at all. We proved it. We had these people prayed for these people. We didn't pray for those. There was no difference. Prayer does not work. So being someone who has read some research over the years, I began looking for some to see if there were some other papers on prayer, and there were a lot. But I found one that had a particularly interesting statement in it. In the introduction, it had this to say: prayer is a special form of meditation, which may well therefore convey all the health benefits that have been associated with meditation. Wait a minute. Prayer is meditation? I don't see it that way. Prayer is a conversation with God. Meditating doesn't have anything to do with what you're considering in your own mind. How can prayer be meditation? I see that just completely differently. The interaction of prayer between your soul and God's soul and God is a very spiritual thing. It's not meditation. Prayer is not done in contemplation. It's not done in meditation. It's done in speaking with God. We know that because in the Bible, God has commanded us to pray. In Isaiah, God says to one of the kings, Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." In other words, make it as difficult as you would like. challenge me and let me respond to you to show you that I answer your prayer. In Matthew 7, Jesus says that verse that we are all so familiar with, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus himself commanded us to pray. And in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, pray without ceasing. And so we are commanded to pray, not to meditate. And the Bible not only says that God hears prayers, but he answers them as well. In Genesis chapter 24, I was reminded that Abraham's servant was praying for help in identifying the woman who would become Isaac's wife. And so he goes out to the well where they all come to get water in the evening. And as he's praying, Rebekah walks up to him. Before he's even finished with that prayer, the prayer was answered. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells the Ephesians that God does even more than we ask for. He answers our prayers, but in ways that are even more the kind of things that we ask for. And in James, we read in the first chapter, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And he goes on, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And then in other places, James says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. We heard that last week. And then in the text for today, James uses these words that I somewhat summarize. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. The prayer of the righteous man has great power. We are the righteous people, not because of what we do, but because of what God does for us. Because of his grace and his forgiveness, we are made righteousness. I found it interesting this week as I was preparing for the adult Sunday school class. It just happened that the adult Sunday school class was talking about prayer. That book that we've been studying there lists five missional practices as we join Jesus in his mission. I'll read all five. The last one is the topic for today. The first is we seek the kingdom. The second is we hear from Jesus. The third way is to talk with people. The fourth way is doing good. We talked about good works and faith a couple of weeks ago. And the last one is ministering to other people through prayer. So how do we minister to other people through prayer? Well, first, we remember that James points out some things in our text for today. He talks about the prayer of faith that will save the one who is sick. And that would not necessarily mean someone who is physically sick, but someone who is sin sick as well. And then he also says what I just repeated a minute ago, the prayer of the righteous man has great power. Sometimes we don't appreciate the power of prayer because we doubt. We tend to think, well, I'm going to pray this, but I'm not sure God is going to answer it. I'm not sure he's going to answer it the way I want. And so as we get to know people with whom we come into contact, as we learn more about them, at some point they may share their problems with you. They may share a need for prayer. They may give you an opportunity for prayer. And there's two ways that you can respond to that. You can respond one way by saying, gosh, I am sorry to hear that you have this bad thing happen to you. Good luck with that. Or As we learned in Sunday school this morning, you can say, "May I pray with you about that problem?" Lutherans aren't particularly good at that. We talked about this in Sunday school as well. We tend to be afraid to pray. We tend to be self-conscious about praying. We don't know the right words, we think. We're embarrassed because, well, the preacher is always the one who prays and I'm just the one who follows him along. Praying out loud makes me feel really uncomfortable. And it does all of those things. I know. I used to sit where you sit. But now I've had some practice and I find that I'm better at it just because I practice. The first time that happens to you, you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be outside your comfort zone. But the second time, it will be a little easier. And the third time, a little easier still. And many times after that, it will get easier and easier, and you will relax, and words will start to come. But when you're outside your comfort zone, we tend to be thinking about ourselves. Oh, I can't do that. I'm scared. I don't know what words to use. So here's some things I have to suggest for you when you find yourself in the opportunity to pray with or for someone. Forget about yourself. Think about the other person. They're the person who needs the prayer, not you. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop having the same feelings, or start having the same feelings as the other person has. Think about their problem and how they feel. Put yourself in their shoes, and that will help you to focus on them and find words that maybe they have used that you can pray with. Put your focus on their pain or their suffering or whatever their problems might be. Because when you think about others, you forget about yourself. And that's kind of a way of humility that we talked about last week. Consider that the prayer you're about to say for someone might be the very first time that anyone has ever prayed for that person in their whole life. What a blessing to you that you might be able to pray for somebody who's never been prayed for before. Because when you do that, they're going to see you as somebody who has a connection to God, a connection that they might like to have but don't have. And then when you say that prayer, keep it simple, keep it short, pray in Jesus' name. When you pray, be honest. You might say for someone who has just said, gee, my spouse or my cousin or my brother or my uncle has cancer, and I'm really worried about that. I'm afraid. Lord God, I lift up your servant today who is afraid, who's worried about his cousin or uncle or whoever. Use the words that they have been using to describe their situation. And then finally, I want you to remember what is really important. The prayer that you pray invites God into their life. It invites him into their situation. It's something they may not know how to do. And yet through a few words, you help them bring God into their life. That's not hard. I gave the adult Sunday school a challenge this morning. At the bottom of a page, about that much of the page, I said, here's a situation. You've just met someone whose spouse has cancer. They're afraid, and you have volunteered to pray for them. What are you going to say? And to my pleasure and to their credit, everybody wrote something. I didn't read them all, but you know what? I think they found out that, in fact, they now have the ability to pray kind of off the cuff. Because when we pray off the cuff, when we pray from our heart, then those are the words that really make sense. You can read prayers out of a prayer book that are long and have big theological words in them, and they sound rather moving, but I don't think God is any more moved by those than a simple prayer that lifts up somebody who's afraid. So if someone is too broken to pray, then you can pray for them. When somebody doesn't know that God loves them, you can pray for them. And you can even remind them in that prayer that God loves them and cares for them, and remind them what Jesus has done for them, all through a simple prayer of maybe 3 or 4 sentences at most. And so as I say amen, I want to read the last verse of hymn 766 in the hymnal. Amen. That is, so it shall be. Make strong our faith in you, that we may doubt not. With trust we believe that what we ask we shall receive. Thus in your name and at your word we say, Amen. O hear us, Lord. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through prayers of faith. In Jesus' name, Amen.